Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
Oh my God. I was a huge fan of Harry Potter. I really identified with, you know, Harry being kind of an outsider in his family because I always felt like really an outsider in my family.
From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Dave. And today we present the adventures of everyone's favorite boy wizard like you've never heard them before, through the mind of a 12-year-old superfan.
My friend told me, have you read fan fiction? And I said, what's fan fiction? They go, well, fan fiction goes really into detail about Harry Potter because we were all waiting for the next book. You know, I started my own account and then started thinking, okay, what can I write? What can I possibly start writing?
Determined to write something that her community would flip for, Naomi Coe buried herself in research.
The top 15 fan fictions that were on that front page. All these super smutty, homoerotic Harry Potter love stories. They were in the millions for hits. I remember not going to bed and just reading all of them to myself at night.
Okay, so just imagine this. A 12-year-old straight girl from Minnesota staying up all night and reading Hogwarts-inspired gay porn. In a 2004 interview with the BBC, a spokesman for J.K. Rowling actually warned about this very thing happening. He said, and I quote, "If young children were to stumble on Harry Potter in an X-rated story, that would be a problem." But something J.K. Rowling and company didn't anticipate. What if those same innocent kids they wanted to protect were the ones actually writing the X-rated stories? Naomi was one of those kids. Whereas Rowling saw this as a cause for concern, Naomi saw it as an opportunity to become the greatest writer of Harry Potter fanfiction ever. Even if it meant writing about gay guys having sex, something she knew absolutely nothing about.
It wasn't about what I wanted. I felt like this is what the people wanted, and I wanted to be that person that got millions of hits.
Here's Naomi on stage in Oakland. Helping her bring her Harry Potter story to life are actors Cal Grant, Chris Libby, and playing the boy wizard himself, Daniel Franzese, who you may recognize from things like Mean Girls and the HBO series Looking.
I was 12 years old, living in Minnesota, never kissed a boy or seen a dude naked. So, undaunted by that, I decided to do what any seventh grader who is desperate to be a successful fan fiction writer would do. I abandoned my own fantasies and gave the public what they wanted. So, with the help of the mortified community players, I present my terrible homoerotic fan fiction. Before I begin, I just want to apologize to all the gay male Harry Potter fanfic readers who tried to wank off to my fanfic, but then couldn't. So, this is Unlikely Love, a Harry Potter fanfic rated M for Mature by Wingardia Leviosa. Prologue. Years after the war at Hogwarts, Harry Potter, the boy who lived, returned back to Hogwarts with his best friend, Ron Weasley. They comforted each other, innocent at first, cuddles and snuggles in bed, going to the lake together for protection, and sharing meals. It was survival. But sometimes, unexpected things happen. Sometimes you fall in love with someone you never expected. Sometimes you fall in love with the enemy. Chapter 4, Dining Hall, later. Harry and Malfoy were eating breakfast together.
Do you always eat toast?
Yes. If you knew what it was like to have nothing to eat, then you would know that toast is a luxury.
Malfoy, feeling ashamed, butters a piece of toast, spreads some marmalade on it, and then he hands it to Potter. Potter, shocked, looks at Malfoy. Malfoy, for the first time, looks at Potter, really looks at him. From his messy black hair and his evergreen eyes and those ruby red lips, Malfoy knew. He knew something was different. He knew things were never going to be the same.
Potter.
Malfoy.
The two share a smile, but across the hall, Ron glares at Harry and Malfoy.
What is going on between them?
Chapter 5, The Woods, next day. One afternoon, Harry and Malfoy were walking the woods together. Harry goes over and gives him a brief kiss on the lips.
What was that, Potter?
I don't know. It just seemed right. Right?
Malfoy. Malfoy, really mad, punches Harry in the face.
What was that for?
You're not supposed to kiss other boys.
We're men.
That doesn't matter.
That's right. It doesn't matter. So what if we're two guys? If we want to kiss, we can kiss. I didn't fight Voldemort and die to kiss girls for the rest of my life.
Malfoy shoved Potter. Potter shoved him back. Malfoy was going to shove him again, but Potter had the same idea in mind. If time stopped, both of their arms stretched out. And from palm to palm, finger to finger, their hands touch.
Why fight if we can't love?
Chapter 6, The Woods. Later, Harry and Malfoy are now in a fight.
You're nothing, Malfoy. Don't forget your family were Death Eaters. You are nothing but scum. You are lower than an ant.
Malfoy, angry, pushes Harry against the wall.
What did you say to me?
You're a coward, Malfoy.
I'm the coward? Would a coward do this?
Malfoy grabs Harry's head and kisses him passionately. Harry has never been kissed like this in his entire life. He has never felt such soft lips in his entire life. Pushed against his lips, Harry felt Malfoy's tongue. With a small gasp, Malfoy's tongue takes the opportunity to go right in. Harry, his pride not wanting to be defeated, fights with Malfoy's. He may not have soft lips, but he wasn't going to lose a battle with a Slytherin. That is not what Gryffindors do. Harry's lips mold with Malfoy's. Finally, after what it seemed like it was forever, they break.
Malfoy.
Malfoy could feel his name against his lips.
Harry.
Malfoy looks at Harry.
What do we do now?
Chapter 7. Ron Weasley and Harry are now in the Gryffindor dorm common room. Next day.
Harry. What are you doing with Malfoy?
I'm just spending time with him.
But what about us?
What about us, Ron?
Well, aren't we together?
Harry rolls his eyes.
We are. We fought together, remember?
I mean, are we together? Boyfriend.
Ron.
Harry pats his thighs. Ron sits on Harry's lap.
Ron, We will always be together. Okay?
Ron nods. They hug and kiss. Ron reaches for Harry's zipper.
Not tonight!
Ron frowns.
Okay.
So, at this point, I spent about 7 chapters, 5,000 words, building up all this sexual tension and intrigue. I was feeling confident that the other fans of fanfiction were going to love my Harry Potter story, obviously. But now, as I stared at my computer screen, I knew the time for foreplay was over. I had to write my first sex scene, let alone my first homoerotic sex scene. Which brings us to chapter 8. Malfoy and Harry are in the Hogwarts corridor later. Harry, feeling guilty, avoids Malfoy.
Stop running away from me, Harry!
Harry stops in the middle of the corridor.
I'm not.
Do you remember the first day in charms class?
Malfoy walks closer to Harry.
What are you talking about?
The day when you were sitting by that Ron Weasley and Hermione Granger trying to mutter that spell.
What spell?
Wingardia Leviosa.
Malfoy steps closer. He traps Harry against the wall.
Yes?
Malfoy takes out his wand. He points it to Harry's crotch.
Shall we try again?
What?
Shall we see if it works?
The spell?
Malfoy takes Harry's hand and places it on top of his.
Together. Wingardia Leviosa.
Harry knocks Malfoy's wand out of his hand. Malfoy grabs Harry. They kiss furiously. Their hands are everywhere. Harry rips Malfoy's cloak off, then his sweater. He looks at Malfoy's pale chest, his muscles tight and chiseled like a Greek god. Malfoy's hands go straight to Harry's belt. They keep kissing. They can't get enough of each other. Their tongues fence like swords. Malfoy pushes Harry's pants down.
Oh, Malfoy.
Potter.
Harry takes off Malfoy's pants. Together, they look at each other's wands.
Together.
Together.
They lead each other's wands to their secret caves. Together, at the same time, they become one. Entering each other at the same time. They didn't know where one started or the other ended. Harry runs his fingers through Malfoy's hair. They kiss.
Opposites attract. Don't they, Potter?
Harry laughs.
They do.
Chapter 9, dorm common room later that night. Harry, feeling really guilty, walks up to the common room. In an armchair sits Ron.
Where have you been, Harry?
Ron?
No. I don't want to hear it. I left Hermione for you, Harry. I left her for you. And you were with him. What did you guys do? Did you do it?
Ron.
Ron stands up. He faces Harry.
Tell me, Harry Potter. Did you do it? How could you?
There's something there, Ron. He's changed. He wants to see the world, and I want to see it with him.
Ron starts crying. Harry goes over to Ron. He pats him on his shoulder.
You know, Ron, it could be the three of us.
I finished my story. It was 19 pages long, and I was really excited and proud. And I didn't get the 500,000 views that most people were getting. Not even close. I got 80 views, approximately. And one comment that said, well, that was really interesting. To be honest, I was actually really sad and devastated that no one liked it. But the good thing was that since nobody read it, no one could really call me out as a fraud, and I kept on writing. And in college, I actually scored a gig to ghostwrite for New York Times bestselling Romance Regency historical romance novelist. Thank you. Although I don't know if it was from clearly the expertise I had on writing sex scenes, or the fact that I doubled major in art history and English lit. And now, the conclusion to my homoerotic Harry Potter fanfiction, Unlikely Love. Chapter 10, Secret Dorm Corridor, later that day. Ron and Harry walk over to the secret third floor corridor. Malfoy waits for them.
Malfoy?
Weasley.
Harry tugs them both.
Hey, now. We didn't defeat Voldemort to do this.
Ron nods.
You're right.
Yes, Harry.
Harry first kisses Malfoy. And then he kisses Ron. Then Harry takes a step back.
You guys kiss each other.
At first, Ron and Malfoy go into the kiss with resistance. Then they start kissing passionately.
Hey, you guys. Make room for me.
The three share a laugh. Soon their clothes disappear, their wands drawn out. The smell of amarantia fills the air, even though nobody made it. Love enters in and out. In and out. In and out. Afterwards, the three are on the floor, panting and tired.
That was unlikely.
Harry, Ron, and Malfoy exchange a smile.
It was unlikely. Unlikely love.
Thank you.
That was Naomi Coe with actors Daniel Franzese, Cal Grant, and Chris Libby reading aloud her childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness in Oakland at the New Parish. And now there's more to the story in our postmortem, Fide. We caught up with Naomi and found out that the genesis of her writing fan fiction was actually the culmination of a super nerd rivalry.
There was this girl who was one of these really popular fan fiction writers, and she would brag all the time about how she was getting all these hits and how she was super cool. And then she really kind of talked about how she was really the truest Harry Potter fan. You know, that really annoyed me because I was like, okay, you are not the truest Harry Potter fan. I'm going to be the truest Harry Potter fan. She was like my Voldemort. Like, go away.
And if there was one thing that we had to know about her Harry Potter story, where did Naomi get the spell that gave everyone boners?
In the first Harry Potter movie, they're doing like their charms class, and Wingardium Leviosa is that spell that you can levitate things. I would love to be like, yeah, I totally like thought about that spell can get a guy an erection. No, that spell was used very commonly throughout the homoerotic Harry Potter world to get an erection. I mean, I wish I could take credit for that, but I didn't.
And did writing homoerotic fanfiction for 5 months straight have any impact on her?
I was so confused. I had no idea what was going on, and I thought everyone was gay. You know, when one of my friends from school was talking about how she kissed a boy, and I was just like, are you sure? Like, in my mind, I was thinking, does he really like you, though? Because he might like a boy instead. Maybe he's kissing a boy right now, and it was not good.
By the end of the writing process, Naomi wasn't just confused. She was also disillusioned.
You know, no one liked what I wrote in the beginning when I started writing fanfic. And then I finally caved into writing, you know, this type of fanfic that I thought people would like. And then no one liked it. And then I stopped writing fanfic. And actually, I stopped reading fanfic, too, because I was just like, fuck the system. Fuck the man. Fuck all of you. I'm out.
Though she gave up on the power of fanfiction, Naomi's belief in the magic of Harry Potter has remained potent.
I would have to admit that I was part of that group of kids who were waiting for their letter to Hogwarts. In the first Harry Potter book, when you turn 11, if you're a wizard or a witch, you get your letter saying that you have been admitted to Hogwarts. So I was waiting for my letter to tell me that I was a super cool witch and I was going to go to England. Peace out, Minnesota. Screw you guys. I'm going to Hogwarts.
And how does Naomi imagine J.K. Rowling would feel if she read her version of Harry Potter?
Oh, my God. I would be so ashamed. I don't know how J.K. Rowling would feel. I hope she would just laugh it off and say that that was the immature musings of an adolescent. And then maybe be like, yeah, that dialogue, that's not right. I would be so embarrassed because J.K. Rowling means a lot to me because she's the reason why I started reading. She was part of that journey for me to what I do as a living. And I would kind of be really embarrassed if she read it and saw how much I misinterpreted her world.
Shockingly, we couldn't get J.K. Rowling, but we were able to get feedback from someone else who's written about the world of Hogwarts. Michael Goldenberg, screenwriter for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. He responded via email, quote, "It's certainly one of the more imaginative adaptations of Harry Potter I've ever read, and it's clear you're a very passionate writer," end quote. Finally, J.K. Rowling, if someone cast a spell and forced you to listen to this, which I hope they have, Naomi had one last thing to say.
Thank you. And also, Harry Potter's real, then where's my fucking letter to Hogwarts?
To share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit GetMortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. To sponsor this podcast, email sponsor@radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Pierce Porcelli, Neil Catcher, and myself, Dave Nadelberg. This episode was produced for the stage by Ria Sardana, Pierce Porcelli, and Scott Lifton. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angel, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Robert Studios, Will Dwyer, Aparna Kumar, Tamar Avishai, and Eric Bass, and all the dedicated Mortified Live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survived.